morning, I'd like to focus a little bit on a concept that I've been thinking about. Joe Yoder kind of encapsulated last week in share time when he said, you know, Center might have a nice kitchen, might have a nice facility, but you know, that's not really a reason to be a part of a congregation, of a church. I believe he's right. Of course, I think he's right because I agree with it. But I think there's a concept there that I would like to focus on this morning. And I have it about the body of Christ working together. It talks about the gifts that are given to the body. Then it talks about not being tossed to and fro like children carried about with the wind of doctrine. Then in verse 15 it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'd also like to look at John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus speaking here says, a new commandment I give unto thee, unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So love is an important part of body life, but I believe it's an important part of the Christian's life. In 1 Corinthians 16, 14, it says, let all things be done with charity. And in Colossians 3, 14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In the ESV, it says this, and above all these things put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the idea that love needs to be a part of a Christian is, I believe, pretty clear from Scripture. And in Ephesians, Paul twins truth and love as needing to work together. Because truth without love can be harsh, criticizing, but we also know that love, as it has been touted, now I don't believe that true love is this way, but love as it has been so often, I'm going to say mistaken, is that it tolerates the untruth, it tolerates lies. Like I said, I believe true love doesn't. But when we twin the two, we understand that love, I believe, is a basis then for truth to be able to be heard. I think it's pretty evident. If a stranger to you walks up to you and says, I don't like what you're wearing. It may be the truth, but because you have no relationship with them, you can pretty well pass it off. But if a friend comes up to you and says something like that, someone you respect, you'll say, wait, you know what? I better listen. Even if you may not agree, there may be something to it because you respect him. There's a level of trust, a level of respect. And I'm going to call that foundation is love. And so when truth is presented on the basis that there's a respect, there's love there already, we can hear it. We can, and in fact, we will respond to it. So how does that relate to us as we relate to non-Christians. I'm assuming most of you know of the tragedy that happened last week in Orlando. The Orlando shooting. As I looked at it, I said, you know, it's really sad that a man was so, believed so much about his belief that he felt like he was doing God a favor. And so my heart went out to the shooter, because what would his life have been like if he would have met Jesus Christ and his life would have been changed? My heart went out to those who were shot. In their lifestyle, I believe they went to a Christless eternity. But you know, I can be judgmental and say, they deserve that. But you know, I don't believe that's how Christ would have viewed it. He looked at things with love. And his desire was that those people would have come to know him and to have come out of their lifestyle. The question that I ask you, and I think this is a relevant question as we relate to people. Do we bring truth first, or do we bring love first? So let's say I'd meet a homosexual couple in town, in Hutchinson. Is it my responsibility to go to them and say, you know what, the lifestyle you're living is wrong. The Bible condemns that. Do you realize that? And unfortunately, that is how too many Christians have approached this whole agenda. What if, on the other hand, I would befriend them and care about them? What if I would say, come out to our place. I'd like to visit. I'd like to learn to know you. And through that, as I establish a relationship of trust with them, then I present truth and show them from Scripture. Which do you think will yield the most fruit? I think you know. And so, unless you hear me wrong, I believe truth is important. But truth without love really will accomplish not what the truth was intended, I believe. Now, how does that relate to us in church settings? I think the question begs to be asked, in what context is truth given? And this, I believe, is something that happens across, I mean, as we interact with each other. But there's an important concept here for us pastors. And that is that each of you sitting in the pews will be able to hear me if you have a respect for me, if you sense that I care about you, if you sense that I love you. Then as I stand up here and present truth, you are able to hear it, because you know that I care. And so I believe one of the challenges that pastors face is it's easy to become so concerned about doctrine that we forget how to pastor and to care and to share and to love our people. But I believe that doctrine can be a beautiful thing as it is presented in love. Think about this. How many cults have there been, and how many cult followings have there been not because people thought it was truth, but I think for the first time they felt like someone cared about them. And they were willing to follow this leader, even though it was against Scripture. Why? because they felt like they were validated, like they were cared for. I believe that hard things can be said when there is respect and care given. But if there is that missing, if that foundation of love is missing, then the hard things either are ignored or they're dismissed altogether because we're like, he doesn't care about me. As I was thinking of what I'm speaking on, I hadn't even thought of it until this morning that it is Father's Day. But I would like to add this part yet. How do we relate as fathers to our children? And it could be parents. It doesn't have to be fathers. In Proverbs 18:13, I'd like to read that. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? In other words, the ESV would say a sick spirit can be healed, but a wounded spirit is very detrimental. I believe it can be healed. So, as I thought of how we as parents discipline our children, I saw this concept again is an important thing. Is discipline given without love? If it is, I believe we will do what Proverbs 18:13 says. 18:14. A wounded spirit who can bear? We break a child's spirit. But on the contrary, when we discipline with love, they are able to receive that. They are able to respond to that. They know underneath that mom or dad, I know that they still love me. I believe children's spirits are broken when we discipline and teach truth without love. And love is so much more than providing for them physically. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I don't know that the order of those two is significant, but I would like to think it is. Nurture is the idea of showing love and care for your children. And then that is the basis of the admonition. And I say this from experience, but to you as parents, be careful what your eyes are telling your children. I remember one of my children saying, "You're angry, Dad." And I could rationalize and say, no, I wasn't. But I realized, I believe my eyes were communicating something that I didn't even realize in my own heart. Eyes and body language are huge in communication. It's more than just the words we use. And I have failed in some of the things that I have communicated with my eyes with my children. But I believe as we establish a basis of love with our children, then we can discipline and they will respond because they still know that mom and dad care and mom and dad love me. Finally, I'd like to look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I think we could just see again that if there's a basis of love, a basis of care, then our words can bring life. But if I only speak truth and I don't really care how you feel about it, that can feel like death. And we know the power of the tongue, or at least we say we do. I trust you do. May we use our words to bring life and to speak the truth. But again, I would just encourage, I'd like to, for us to be. Joe Yoder, I think, was saying this is what he believes we are, but I would like to call us yet even more to be a caring brotherhood that loves each other and is willing then to be able to speak the truth, because there's mutual respect and there's mutual love between us. When that happens, we are operating, I believe, as God designed it for it to happen, to work. And our brotherhood can be one that is a testimony to the world, as Jesus said, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Let's kneel and pray. Father in heaven, we come to you. We're grateful, Lord, that you in your love loved us. It says in the scriptures that you loved us first so that we could love in return. And Lord, we know from what you've shown us in scripture that love is the foundation. It needs to be the foundation of relationships. And when that happens, then truth spoken can take root in our hearts and we can grow and be fruitful as you've called us to be. So Father, I just pray that we could grow in this area. I pray that I could grow in this area so that when truth is spoken, that it takes root and it bears fruit in our lives. I pray this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Julian.